We'll begin reading again at verse 1 of the chapter, Romans chapter 8. Let's hear the word of God. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Let's pray. Father, we look to You now for help as we come to Your Word. Oh, that it would meet us, Father, that it would feed us, that by Your Spirit it would change us, and that You would be honored. We ask in Jesus. Amen. This morning, we will spend our time in verses 5 through 8 of Romans chapter 8. We will see four realities here in these verses. They come out of the end of verse 4. We saw in verse 4 that we have this category of person who doesn't walk in this way, but does walk in this other way, right? Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And these are fundamental categories for understanding the nature of unbelievers, of believers, for understanding the Christian life, and indeed for understanding why it is that the justified are those who walk in a particular way. They live in a particular way. And so we're going to see these four realities. I'll give you them. They come in pairs, in contrasts. The first is that there are two categories. Again, we have this hard binary. A binary is just where you have two things that are kind of on opposite sides of the spectrum. It's a way of expressing information in computers, right? Binary, you have ones and zeros. It's either you either have a zero or you have a one. You have different combinations and it says things, but that's what a binary means. It's just zero or one. There's no halfway between. There's no 0.5. There's no 0.1. It's just zero or one. And that's what we have in this text concerning humanity. We have this binary again. It's introduced in verse 4 on the one side. There are these people who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And throughout this passage, we are operating with two categories of people. We see it introduced in verse 5. There are those who, the way it's in the ESV, live according to the flesh. And on the other hand, there are those who live according to the Spirit. So these are the two categories. They come up again in verse 9. Those who are in the flesh or in the Spirit. And we're referring to the same reality. It is a category. One is either in the category of according to the flesh or in the category of according to the Spirit. So that's the first thing we'll be looking at is that category. Second, out of those categories come two mindsets that correspond either one or to the other. And that's what we see again introduced in verse 5. Those who are in the category of flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. So here we have the mindset that comes out of the flesh is this one, setting the mind on the things of the flesh. And we'll come back to a definition of what it means to have that mindset, what that is. On the same side of the Spirit, we have the same thing. Those who are in the Spirit or according to the Spirit have the mindset of the Spirit. And so two categories, two mindsets, and then out of those mindsets flow life, flow activity, flow action. And that's actually where we started in verse 4. There's a walking according to the flesh, and there's a walking according to the Spirit. But the passage is going to have that at the end of this progression. A category, either flesh or spirit, and then out of that, a mindset, and then out of that mindset, a life pattern, a way of living. So that's the third thing, is two life patterns. And then the fourth is two destinies. Two destinies. Notice in verse 6, it says, the mind that is set on the flesh is death. The mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So we see that we're in these two hard binaries. First of all, two categories. Out of those categories, mindsets. Out of those mindsets, life patterns. And ultimately, out of those life patterns, two destinies. So to approach this passage this morning, we're going to begin by walking through those four realities as it concerns the flesh. Paul would have us to understand there is this category of the flesh. And here, we're not speaking of the way in which the flesh remains in the believer. That's going to come up later. But here we are speaking of, again, like I said at the beginning, two categories, a hard binary. There are two distinct groups of people. Either, we use the language of verse 9, in the flesh or in the Spirit. And so we want to look at this category of in the flesh to begin with. It's introduced in verse 5. Those who, and again we have this translation here, live according to the flesh. And the translation there is trying to get at the idea that the being in the flesh produces something in the totality of existence, in all of your life, in all of your being. But in the original, there's not a verb there, and so that's supplied. And I think that live according to the flesh, it moves our minds a little bit away from this category of being, which is captured well in verse 9, in the flesh. If you look in the NASB, it just says those who are according to the flesh. Other translations are those who are after the flesh. This helps us to see that we're talking about not the way in which someone might act in just one particular moment, but we're talking about who somebody is. We're speaking about nature. We saw in Romans chapter 5 that all of us come into the world in Adam. Our nature is the nature of fallen Adam. That's what it means to be in the flesh, or to be according to the flesh, to be after the flesh. It is to have the fallen, unredeemed nature of Adam, and that's it. It's to be in Adam. It's to be defined this way, according to the flesh. Nothing else. And we see, secondly, that that leads to a particular mindset. It says those who live, right, or are according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. All of humanity is in one of two categories, and all of humanity begins in Adam. We come into the world by nature in Adam, which means by nature we are defined in this way, like we saw in verse 9, in the flesh, like we see in verse 5, according to the flesh. And this is not good news for us as human beings. Because those who are according to their flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. I said that this second level here has to do with mindset. The translation here, set their minds on the things of the flesh, is good, but it can be too narrow because of the English for us. I think when we read set their minds on the things of the flesh, we think merely in terms of thinking and conscious, maybe meditating, dwelling, and that is certainly included here, but it's much more than that. You see, the category of the individual in Adam, in other words, the unregenerate, the unbeliever, is the one who's according to their flesh. And then out of that reality is the one who therefore sets their minds on the things of the flesh, has their mind set, their worldview, the lens through which they see everything, from this fleshly, this fallen, this in Adam existence. And we remind ourselves that in Adam nature is a depraved nature. Adam in the garden fell by rebelling against God. And then we see that fall affects every aspect of humanity coming out and onward from that. The unbeliever, the unregenerate individual, all of us as we come into the world in Adam are depraved. We've lost what we were originally created with in terms of ability to commune with God, to please God, to walk in His ways, to desire God. We come into the world according to the flesh. We come into the world in the flesh. And the one who is in the flesh has the whole of their existence colored by the flesh, the sin nature, that nature which is in opposition to God and inclined towards evil. So what does this touch? What does this encompass? What does this entail? Well, first of all, we can look at different ways in which this has been summarized here, but it includes the understanding, it includes the will, it includes the affections, the mindset of the flesh has to do with who we are, with how we think. But not only with how we think, what we want, what we are oriented towards, what we are aimed at, how we feel. All of it, naturally, as fallen human beings, it's this mindset that is oriented towards the flesh. And again, the flesh is the sin nature, self set in opposition to God. It colors every aspect of being. So you can think about that. The unbeliever has their mind set on the flesh. Think of it in contrast to God. This comes out of nature. This is who we are in Adam, and who we are in Adam has a particular mindset. It affects our understanding, it affects our will, it affects our emotions, our affections, all of us. And it's oriented away from God and towards the self, towards the world, and even towards the evil one. We think about the language of Ephesians chapter 2, that those who are dead in trespasses and sins follow the prince of the power of the air. This is what it means to have the mind set on the flesh, on the things of the flesh. I think we can draw that out a little bit more by going back in Romans for a moment. Say, what are the things of the flesh? We'll get to more of those, but at the heart, the mindset of the flesh is explicitly stated for us in Romans chapter 1. Remember what it says if you go down to verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. That the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So here we have one component of the mindset on the flesh. The mindset on the flesh is suppressing ultimate truth. The unbeliever, the unregenerate, is suppressing the truth of God as it is in the world. So the unbeliever is suppressing God's truth, objective reality. Notice what else it says here in this passage. Although, verse 21, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. So the mind set on the flesh understands in some capacity, a real capacity, that God exists. We saw that in Romans chapter 1 way back there. The mind set of the flesh understands that God exists, but it's rejected him. And look what it does. The mind set on the flesh, this is the unregenerate, the unbeliever, refuses to honor God or give thanks to Him. That is at the heart of the mind set of the flesh. Refusing to honor God or give thanks to God for who He is and what He has done on His terms. We see that the foolish hearts of those are darkened, becoming fools, exchanging the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And so we see that again, for the unbeliever, for the unregenerate, they are in the flesh, right? That is who they are by nature, and out of that nature flows this mindset that doesn't honor God, doesn't give thanks to God, but rather turns from God towards created things to worship that which is in the world. And this happens in countless ways, and it's always going on in the unbeliever, putting other things in the place of God, putting self in the place of God, putting created things in the place of God. Just like it says in Romans 1, worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. Then we move down to two life patterns. And this will again help us to see the mindset as we see what flows out of it. The one who is in the flesh, who is according to the flesh, and who has the mindset of the flesh, has a life pattern, has a walk. Remember, that's what we began with in verse 4. Walking according to the flesh. This is evident, right? It's a life. So let's turn to Galatians for a moment. Just turn over a little bit in your Bible to Galatians, right before Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Paul says that the works of the flesh, right, that which comes from this sin nature, that the unbeliever is, that's their realm, that's their category, that's what they're dominated by, and therefore it affects every aspect of life, right? Thinking, understanding, willing, affections. And it leads to life patterns. And Paul says those life patterns, those works of the flesh, are evident. They're easy to see. He says in verse 19, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, he says. So I haven't listed everything, but it's things like this. It's evident. And these are the life patterns of the unbeliever, of the unregenerate, of the one who is in the flesh, according to the flesh, and who has the mindset of the flesh. It then flows out into these things. Not necessarily all of them, not necessarily overtly, but they are present and they form the substance of the life. It may look different in different people. You see the idolatry of self, the unbeliever living for themselves. You know, we, as unbelievers, we evaluated everything in the world ultimately according to our own self, whether we acknowledged it or not. You know, I remember as I was thinking about my life as an unbeliever, as I was coming to the end of high school, how was I evaluating what I would do? Well, exclusively in the categories of, number one, what I want; number two, within that category, number what would be prosperous, like what would make me a lot of money, what would bring me that kind of happiness that I thought would exist there. All decisions just made according to self. What's exciting in the moment? What's fun in the moment? What fits my definition of success or enjoyment or satisfaction? That's it. That's what forms the whole substance of the thinking of the unbeliever at its heart. On the outside, there might be this thing or that thing, right? We see philanthropy in the unbelieving world. But when you get down to its heart, you will always find idolatry, and you will always find that root of refusing to honor God, refusing to give thanks to Him, the exchanging of His glory for some other pursuit, some other thing. This is the mindset of the flesh, which leads to the life pattern of the flesh. Now, we've mentioned it a few times, but I think we should mention it again. The flesh certainly has something to do with our physical bodies, but it is not merely who we are as physical beings. In other words, the flesh is not material, as though material were bad. It's the same thing when we think about the name, the word worldly. Sometimes our minds just, when we think worldly, oh, what's worldliness? Well, it's material stuff, physical things. But again, that's not the appropriate category. If you flip for one moment into the book of Colossians, another passage that can help us to think, what is this mindset of the flesh? And yes, it has to do with physical existence, but we're not talking about material. We're not talking about rejecting our bodies. We're not talking about rejecting the created world that God has made. What are we talking about? And so in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul uses the term earthly. He uses the term earthly. And so, again, our minds might be, okay, earthly, so things of created material existence. But again, we have a specific category. Look what he says. Put to death what is earthly in you. And then he has a list that really reminds us of this list from Galatians, right? He says, put away sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. He goes on to say anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, lying. So we see when we're thinking about worldliness, when we're thinking about fleshliness, when we're thinking about earthliness that needs to go, we have clear categories, evident patterns of behavior and thinking and acting that need to go. And those are the things that define the unbeliever. It happens in more overt and more subtle ways, right? You look at those lists and you can think of some of the more external sins that are evident, and a lot of people can go, yeah, that's bad. That's bad. But you experience it in many different ways. I remember one of my early jobs and going to the lunchroom, and absolutely every single lunch for the entire time, these ladies would sit down at a table and they would complain. It was unbelievable. Sometimes gossipy complaining, sometimes just complaining, but it's like it just flowed out of who they were. out of their mindset. And it did. Because they were unregenerate, they were unbelievers. They were according to the flesh, their minds were set on the flesh, and so their life pattern was evident in works of the flesh. It characterized who they were, and it just flowed out. And this, of course, leads to that destiny. We see, if we flip back to Romans chapter 8, of death. The mind set on the flesh is death. Here we experience something that we see often in Paul. Paul takes the ultimate end, the ultimate goal, or the ultimate place where something is going to end up, and it comes into the here and now. So the one who's according to the flesh, who has the mindset of the flesh and then therefore evidences this life pattern of the flesh, has as their destiny death, an eternal death. But it's not just that that's waiting somewhere. This mindset of the flesh is death now. To reject God, to reject thanksgiving, to live for self, to be characterized by the flesh and its works is to be in the category of death in the here and now. To be separated from God who is life in the here and now. The mindset of the flesh is death. And we must always remember that. There's a warning for some of you, whether young or old. This passage is not primarily yet oriented towards the action in respect to flesh. However, you must recognize where this goes. And when you think about any of those works, those things that I listed, you must remember that to be according to the flesh and to have the mindset of the flesh and to have the life pattern of the flesh is to even now be living in the realm of death. You think it feels like life. You think it feels good. You think it gives you some kind of freedom, but you are living in death. You need to think about rotting carcasses and dead bodies, and then you need to think about ultimately where that ends, and that's eternal death, the second death, the wrath of God for all eternity. This passage is actually oriented towards our hope because of the second half of the binary. Beloved, this is for us. How awful is this reality of being according to the flesh and having the mindset of the flesh and living the life pattern of the flesh and having the destiny of the flesh. But notice what we began with, that the believer is the one for whom there is no condemnation. The believer is the one by the law of the Spirit has been set free from the law of sin and death. The believer is the one who has experienced the work of God, where he did what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, and by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemning sin in the flesh. And then we see at the end of verse 4, those who are believers, those for whom this truth is glorious and precious, no condemnation, are categorized differently. Not who walk according to the flesh, but rather who walk according to the Spirit. Right? So Paul begins there at the end of verse 4, at the end of that progression, the life that flows out, And then he gives us where it comes from. So let's go back up to the first category, right? We had according to the flesh on the one hand, but for you, if you are a believer, you are according to the Spirit, verse 5. Verse 9, in the Spirit. You are no longer in that realm. You are not according to the flesh. You are not in the flesh. Yes, the flesh remains. We're going to deal with that. But it does not define you. It does not dominate you. Something else has come to be the category in which you live, and that is the Spirit. Oh, believers, we must understand the centrality of the Spirit in the life of the Christian. And as I said before, not in ways it's sometimes talked about, in kind of exclusively terms of, okay, the life of the Spirit and the role of the Spirit has somehow always to do with these external manifestations of God's work in the world in terms of signs and wonders or some kind of ecstatic speech, all of these external things. No, the Spirit is essential. The Spirit is the substance here of our life as believers, and we live in the realm of the Spirit as opposed to the realm of the flesh. We are no longer according to the flesh or after the flesh, but now we are according to the Spirit. We must understand this. We are no longer in the category of flesh, but we are now in the category of the Spirit. John 3:6. Remember, Jesus teaches us that that which is flesh produces flesh, and that which is Spirit produces Spirit. In other words, we can only become those who are in the Spirit, who are according to the Spirit, by the Spirit Himself, by the work of God. No one gets from this side to this side by their own power, by their own might. It is truly a wonder for believers to be in the Spirit. And we see how much of a wonder it is when we look down at verse 7 of chapter 8. Human beings are unable to move themselves from the realm of the flesh to the realm of the Spirit. Human beings are unable to renew their nature. Human beings are unable to simply decide, today I will now honor God and give thanks to Him by their own free, simple volition. Where do we see that? Verse 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh, here we go back to that mindset of the flesh, which we described previously, is hostile to God. Okay, there is no neutrality in the world. If you are an unbeliever, whether you might express, no, I have no problem with God, I just don't really care about Him, or whatever it is, or I think there could be a God, I don't have any animosity towards Him, I just don't know that He's the God you say, okay? The Bible tells you that you are hostile to God. And you are hostile to God because you do not submit to God's law. The mindset of the flesh does not submit to God's law. It's hostile to God. So this is all of us before we were converted, all of us before we were saved, hostile to God, will not submit to God's law. But it says more than that. Indeed, it cannot. The one who is in the flesh according to the flesh has the mindset of the flesh, cannot submit to God's law. Morally unable to submit to God's law. This is not the kind of inability that's like a physical inability, right? So if I chain you to a wall and I put water kind of out of your reach and you desperately need it because you're thirsty, I'm like, well, just get the water. Well, you're physically unable to do that. and you're not held responsible for your inability to get the water. But the unbeliever is not there, oh man, I really want God. The unbeliever hates God. The unbeliever is hostile to God. The unbeliever will not submit to God's law. And they cannot submit to God's law. Those who are in the flesh, this verse says, cannot please God. What a wonder it is that we as believers are in the Spirit. We are according to the Spirit, which means then we have the mindset of the Spirit. The mindset of the Spirit. We're made new, but now we have the mindset of the Spirit. You don't have the mindset of the flesh as a believer. Your mindset is shaped by the Spirit. And ultimately, what does that mean? It touches every aspect of your being, your thinking, your willing, your acting, your wanting. This is true of every believer. Your mindset is not the mindset of the flesh. You have the mindset of the Spirit. What does that mean? At its heart, self is no longer supreme. You want God. You want to do His will. Right, the mindset of the Spirit, where can we see that? Well, we see it in simple things like the Lord's Prayer. The one who is in the Spirit, who's according to the Spirit, who's been saved, who's been made new, has the mindset of the Spirit, and we see it in the Lord's Prayer. They want what Jesus tells them to pray. What is it, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The one who is in the Spirit, who has the mindset of the Spirit, wants God's name to be made famous, to be hallowed, to be set apart as holy. You want His kingdom to come. Not your kingdom, you want His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And yes, even in that you feel how far short of that desire you fall, but that affects you. That worries you, that concerns you. And so you go to Him and you ask Him for more. You ask Him for help. Because you're in the Spirit. You're according to the Spirit. You have the mindset of the Spirit. We read from Psalm 63. This is the mindset of the Spirit. I'll just flip there quickly. Psalm 63. The mindset of the Spirit. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. That's not the mindset of the flesh. Right? The mindset of the flesh does not honor God. Does not give thanks to God. Trades in other things for God. Puts self at the top. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God. The mindset of the flesh does not submit to God's law. It cannot submit to God's law. The mindset on the flesh, those who are in the flesh, cannot please God. But beloved, you are in the Spirit. You have the mindset of the Spirit, and so you cry out with David. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. This is the mindset of the Spirit, dominated by the priorities of the Spirit, oriented towards Christ and the Father who send the Spirit. And please God. The believer pleases God. 1 Thessalonians just flip there for a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 1, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? We were according to the flesh. We were in the flesh. We had the mindset of the flesh. We produced the works of the flesh. And therefore, we were hostile to God. We did not submit to God's law. We could not submit to God's law. We could not please God. But in His mercy, He saved us. And He gave us His Spirit. We are now in the Spirit. We are according to the Spirit. We have the mindset of the Spirit. And we can please God. We do please God. Paul there in 1 Thessalonians urges the believers to please Him more and more. Of course, the mindset of the Spirit produces the life patterns of the Spirit. So if you want to turn back to Galatians again for a moment, let's look back there in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is you, believer, in the Spirit, with the mindset of the Spirit, producing the life patterns, the walk of the Spirit. Oh, not perfectly, of course, but genuinely, really, truly. And Paul writes these descriptions and he tells us this binary so that you would know which category you are in. So that you would see what it is to be one who is according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Who has the mindset of the Spirit and not the mindset of the flesh. Who walks by the Spirit and does not walk according to the flesh. And therefore has the destiny of those so described. The mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. This is our future as believers. Because we are in the Spirit, because we have the mindset of the Spirit and we bear the fruit of the Spirit, all of this tells us whose we are. We are those who belong to Christ, and all of those who belong to Christ will receive the inheritance that He won. Life and peace is ours now, but even more so, life and peace is our future. This is life, that you know God and that you know the Son whom He sent. So we have eternal life in the here and now. We have its experience in the here and now, but we await its consummation. We await its fullness. And we will have its fullness. We have peace now, right? Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And yet the fullness of that peace awaits us in glory, when all of remaining sin will be put away, when every opposition will be laid to rest once and for all, fully and finally, and we will live in that life and peace forever. This is you, believer. This is you. You live according to the Spirit. You set your minds on the things of the Spirit. You walk according to the Spirit. Rejoice in this and give thanks. Let's pray. Father, what a wonder it is that we can be gathered here this morning. And here are gathered your people. Those who've known the saving work of Christ come home to their hearts, being made new by your Spirit, new hearts in the place of hearts of stone, no longer in the flesh, but now in the Spirit, with the mindset of the Spirit, walking according to the Spirit, life and peace being ours. All of this, the exclusive and sole work of you, Almighty God. We contributed nothing, we brought nothing, we did nothing, and yet you saved us in your mercy. What a wonder it is. And Father, for those who are here this morning in the flesh, according to the flesh, with the mindset of the flesh, not submitting to your God, your law, indeed not being able to please you. Oh, Father, you are the God who rescues and redeems. You are the Father who makes new. So would you do that now? Would men and women, boys and girls, turn in faith to Christ, cast themselves upon his finished work, to know your mercy and your grace in him? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.